So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, verse 32. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Kala Sri Loka Kshayakrit Pravidha, Lokan Samahartumiha Pravita, Vite Pitamna Bhavishanti Sarve, Yavastita Pradhyanikeshu Yodha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, Pandavas, all soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So Prabhupada says in the purport, although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Therefore, he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating form. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmanas. Eventually, all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. This form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant, and here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langate girim yakipam tamaham vande shri gurum tinatavinam om agyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu militam yena tasamai shri gurave namah. So Krishna has appeared in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita in the devastating form of time. Form of destruction. And this form is seen by all people at the time of death. And some people may see it even before death. If you're in the war, in the battlefield, you will see it already. If you're in a country that is experiencing war, you will see it already, how everyone is being devoured. So, now someone once asked me a question recently that Arjuna, it seems like he was afraid of this universal form. In some of these verses it says he was afraid, but then in some verses it says he was not afraid. So how could he be afraid and at the same time not afraid? So Srila Prabhupada answers this question later on in a verse, in verse 45 of this chapter. How could Arjuna be simultaneously afraid and not afraid of Krishna? So the answer is this, that here I'll read from this purport of 45. Arjuna is always in confidence with Krishna because he is a very dear friend. And as a dear friend is gladdened by his friend's opulence, Arjuna is very joyful to see his friend Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can show such a wonderful universal form. So he saw Krishna as his friend. So he said, oh, I didn't know my friend could show such things. But then he realized, oh, not only is he my friend, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the same time, after seeing this form, he's afraid he committed so many offenses to Krishna out of his unalloyed friendship. So sometimes he will be sitting and eating together with Krishna. Sometimes they'll be playing games, chess. Sometimes they'll be riding together. And so he felt like, this was his fear. Oh, I have committed some offenses. I didn't know he was God, actually. I thought he was just my friend. So in the spiritual world, the people, they don't know that Krishna is God. They see him as their best friend, or as their husband, or as their child, beloved child. And so Arjuna, even though he saw this huge form, he was not really afraid of the form, but he was afraid that he had committed offenses to God. So, the form of time is not for the devotees of Krishna. It is for the non-devotees. Those who don't want to see Krishna's beautiful threefold bending form of Shyama Sundara here. We want to see this form of Krishna. But for the non-devotees, they don't like to see this form. So therefore, they will see the universal form of Krishna at the time of death. So, it is called Kala. Now, another name for time is Kala Sarpa. Those of you who are Indian will know what Sarpa means. It means snake, snake of time. Now, how does a snake behave? The snake creeps up on you, and before you know it, he bites. Especially in India, there are many snakes, especially in monsoon time. So, but here we have another snake, and that is the snake of time. And time is always creeping up on us. Before we know it, it is the time of death. And it's never convenient or timely. We always think, why is it now that I have to die? So this is the most wonderful thing that everyone has seen, that everyone dies in this world, but everyone thinks, why me? Why should I die? But actually, it will happen. But for the devotees, it's quite different. We'll hear about that a little later. But first, another question which was asked to Yudhisthira Maharaj in Mahabharata was, well, first, what is the most wonderful thing? And that I just told you. And another question he was asked was, what is the news of this world? So the news is, the answer he gave is that this world is like a frying pan. And we are all being fried in this pan. And some of us are well done, and some of us are completely fried already in this pan of this world. And who is, what is the fuel? The fuel is our the days and nights. The days and nights are the fuel of this fire, and the sun is the actual fire. Because the sun is counting our days, it's counting our minutes, it's counting away our life, actually. And the months and seasons are the stirring spoon. And guess who the cook is? Who can tell me? Who is the cook who is cooking us? Yes.
Krishna.
Krishna. Well, it's a form of Krishna. Which form of Krishna?
Time.
Very good. Yeah, and now Krishna wouldn't do a thing like that. He's very sweet. Yeah, but his form of time, which he's showing now to Arjuna, is cooking us in the frying pan of this world. And that is not for the devotees, again. It is only for those who like to think this world is a good place to stay. It's not a good place to stay. We should go to the spiritual world where we will not be fried anymore. We will live eternally in bliss and knowledge. So when Krishna was here, there was one devotee named Bhishma Dev, and he was one of the great generals in the battle of Kurukshetra, and he was thinking, how wonderful is this time, because such great devotees like Arjuna, like Yudhisthira, they all were suffering so much because of time. Their kingdom was taken away, their wife was insulted. So why do devotees seem to also suffer under time? It appears, we say, no, the devotees are beyond time, but these great devotees, they seem to suffer. So Prabhupada gives the answer, why do devotees seem to suffer sometimes? And that is that Krishna wants to teach the world by teaching the devotees. The devotees are the example. There is an analogy given that a mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Now, nowadays, I think nobody stays with their mother-in-law. Maybe, I don't know if there are still families like that. But in India, when the son gets married, then the daughter-in-law moves in and stays with the mother-in-law. So the mother-in-law wants to teach the daughter-in-law, but she doesn't teach directly. She teaches the daughter, and the daughter-in-law watches. So Krishna, he does not teach directly. But so the daughter-in-law is like this whole world. Krishna teaches the world by teaching his devotee and showing the example of the devotee, how he can live in this world even though it's such a difficult place to stay. So the Pandavas were the example. Prabhupada said a devotee's duty is to ungrudgingly accept troubles from the Lord as a benediction. And Narada Muni went to visit them when they were exiled in the forest. And he saw that even though they were suffering so many things, so many problems, their love for Krishna was increasing. So this is the test of the devotee. So Krishna, he didn't have to teach Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna already knew everything. But he taught Arjuna just so we can learn how to ask questions, what good questions to ask. If we ever meet Krishna or if we meet a spiritual master, what questions should we ask? He asks the best questions. And also Srimad Bhagavatam, Arjuna's grandson, heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and he asked so many beautiful questions just to teach us, to teach the world. So time. Who is afraid of time? And that is the people who do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, because they're afraid because they don't understand that Krishna is time. When we see time, we see Krishna. He said, so we're not afraid. But everybody else, when they see time, then they get afraid. Srila Prabhupada said that he saw this universal form in 1942 when there was a wartime and Calcutta was being bombed. He was living in Calcutta and the sirens went off and he was seeing, oh, these bombs, this is the universal form of Krishna. And he said, I was thinking, of course, it's just another form of Krishna, but not a very lovable form. We cannot love time. We cannot love this universal form of Krishna. So it's just like if your father is belonging to the police force, and one night he comes home shooting his gun, you might be a bit afraid of him. Usually at home he's very loving and he takes you on his lap and everything, but if he comes home shooting, you might get a little afraid. So this is Arjuna. The devotees, sometimes they see time, it's a bit fearful, but then when they realize that no, this is not to be, we're not to be afraid of time, this is Krishna. Now how is, so therefore at the time of death the devotee is not afraid. And Prabhupada gives a nice beautiful example of the difference between when a devotee dies or when a non-devotee dies. And the example is a mother cat. The mother cat, when she carries the rat in her mouth, how is the rat feeling? Oh, very frightful, very fearful, very insecure, and doesn't know. He knows what's going to happen to him, but he doesn't know where he's going to go or what to expect. So this is how death is for those who do not believe in God, not believe in Krishna. It's a very, very difficult time. But when the devotees are facing death, it is just like the kitten in the mouth of the mother cat. The kitten is feeling so happy when the mother picks him up and takes him somewhere, because sometimes the kittens go out in the street and the mother catches them and brings them back, takes them back home. So sometimes we go on the wrong path. So Krishna picks us up and takes us back home, back to Godhead. Everybody in this world has gone on the wrong path. And sometimes even in this world, we are devotees and we start going the wrong way. So we may even feel the teeth of our mother cat even before we die. Even now, if we get some disease or something, we might feel the teeth. But Krishna is just trying to take us into the right direction. We might be going the wrong direction, wrong attitude. So he picks us up and takes it another direction. So for the devotees, we are not afraid of time. But for those who are non-devotees, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was a great devotee, five-year-old boy. And he saw this huge lion form, half lion, half man form. He was not afraid. But his father was afraid because he came to kill him. Krishna appeared as Nrisingadev to kill the non-devotee, Hiranyakashipu, and to protect his devotee. So when Krishna comes in this fearful form of Nrisingadev, then we are not afraid. We see, oh, my father has come to protect me. But the non-devotees, they are afraid. Even like one time Prabhupada said, there was a police car going in the street. He was walking with a policeman in the sidewalk. And then some people all of a sudden started running. And Prabhupada said to the policeman, who are those people? And the policeman said, oh, they are thieves. They are seeing me coming, and so they're running. So, yes, when we see the police force, when we see time, then we want to run. But actually, we cannot run. So another point of this form of time, we should know that the super soul, the Lord in the heart, his expansion is also time. Time is the eternal witness of all our activities. Time is watching us. Time is counting our days and giving us our reactions. And his internal form is the Lord in the heart. So if we can hear our conscience, if we can hear the Lord in the heart again, we have nothing to fear. So there is a verse in Bhagavatam that persons who are actually intelligent and spiritually inclined, they should use their time searching for that thing which they have not yet gotten by wandering to the highest planet and down to the lowest. So what is that thing which we have not yet gotten in this world, which we have not yet found? And that is Krishna and love of Krishna. So there is a time for creation, there is a time for maintenance, and there is a time for destruction of this world. And in the beginning, we have all the, we have the creators, we have the progenitors, we have Lord Brahma. In the middle of the creation, we have the kings, the great kings, and Lord Vishnu and the demigods. And at the end, we have Lord Shiva and all the destruction. So hopefully, we will try to worship Krishna, and we will help to maintain the creation and not destroy it. Although we see now in Kali Yuga, there is a great movement towards destruction of everything. When you take drugs, or when you take this contaminated food, then it destroys your body. So we see this in Kali Yuga. But the devotees, we offer everything to Krishna, and therefore then we are protected by this devastating effect of time. We eat Krishna prasadam. Now, that when the sages were sitting in the forest of Naimisharanya, and they were having Srimad Bhagavatam, talking Srimad Bhagavatam, they invited Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, to come to the class. And they said, as long as Yamaraj is here, nobody will die. So we have also, we invite, Yamaraj likes to come to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam class. So if you're in the class, you have no fear of death as long as you're here. So you should make sure you come every Sunday to hear Bhagavad Gita, and no fear of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj, he tells his messengers in Srimad Bhagavatam, don't go to my devotees. Don't go to Krishna's devotees. Because Yamaraj is also a devotee. He's a Mahajan. He says, don't go to the devotees of Krishna, anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna. You go to those people who never offered obeisance, who never ate prasadam, who never chant Hare Krishna, who never went to the temple. You bring me those people for punishment. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in India in one city. And many Indian people were, this is the beginning of our movement in India, 71. Many nice Indian people were in the audience. And he also applied it to the audience. In his words, he said, Yamaraj is saying, bring anyone to me who does not become a life member of ISKCON. So they all became life members immediately. So yeah, Prabhupada, he applies it time, place, and circumstance. Yes, everybody should surrender to Krishna. In Vrindavan, where I stay in India, the Brijbasis, the people who live there, when they are about to die, they say, oh, I got a letter from Radharani calling me back. So they don't say, I'm dying. They say, I got a letter to go to the spiritual world. Because they're living in Vrindavan. Anyone who dies in Vrindavan will go back to Godhead, if you did not commit offenses in Vrindavan. So that's how they see it. That's how they see death. So I would like to, now I've talked a lot about material time, I would like to talk a little bit about spiritual time. It's quite different from material time. It is always present. You never lose it. Here we lose our time. Now it is 4:10, and 4 o'clock is gone, and we can't buy it back with any amount of money, as Prabhupada used to say. So we do lose our time here. We lose it, and we get old, and we die. But in the spiritual world, you don't lose your time. It's always present. And you can expand it. When Krishna was dancing, Rasa dance, then instead of having just a regular night, he had a night of Lord Brahma, which is some 8 billion years long. He had that night. You can change the time in the spiritual world. In the seasons too. You have in Vrindavan, you have 6 forests. One is for the rain, one is for winter, one is for summer, one is for spring, one is for fall. And you can go to any of the forests and experience the different seasons. And then you have one forest which has all six at the same time. So you can be in all the six seasons at the same time. It can be raining and snowing, and I don't know if they have snow in the spiritual world, but I guess they must. I don't know if they have it here. Or maybe, no, Prabhupada said that ice is a perverted reflection of water. And so I'm not sure if they have snow there. It doesn't get cold, really. But winter is there, and it's a different different season. So you can have all of them at the same time. And then we hear the story in Krishna Lila that when Krishna was living in Dwaraka, he married 16,108 queens. He had that many queens, and he had a palace for each one of them. And he would so Narada and Krishna was in each palace at the same time, doing different things. So one time, Narada Muni, his devotee, went to visit him, and he could travel very quickly with mystic power, and he visited all the thousands of palaces within 2 minutes, 1-2 minutes, very quickly. And he saw that Krishna was doing something different in each one. And not only was he doing something different, in one palace he was just waking up and having his breakfast, another palace he was just going to sleep, another palace he was having his lunch, another palace he was swimming. So there, it was like all different time zones also in the different palaces. And so this is spiritual time that it's quite different from the time here in the material world. Now, we know Prabhupada, he was way beyond time. He would go through so many time zones traveling in his 70s and 80s. And the time zone would never affect him. He would come to a temple. If he didn't even sleep, then he would say, okay, now it's time for lunch. And he would have his massage and eat. And the devotees with him were affected by the time zones, and they couldn't keep up with him. And myself, I could also see, I went on a walk with him once, and or maybe more than once, and I was always trying to figure out, how does he walk so fast? I'm in my 20s, he's in his 70s. Now, this is not logical, that he's walking fast, and I cannot keep up with him. He's so fast, but I never could figure it out. Because you cannot understand the pure devotee with your intelligence. You have to have love, and then you can understand. It's not by being clever or intelligent that you can understand the pure devotee. So one time he was flying on a short flight to New York, and many devotees were sitting with him in the same row, but all of them were falling asleep. They would be like sitting and then all of a sudden go like that and come up back up again. And they were... Shudakirti was watching them. He said they were doing devotee dive bombing. They were just falling down, a whole row of them. And it was quite a sight seeing them going up and down. And Prabhupada was not amused. He said, just see. Everyone is wide awake except for the devotees. They are in Maya, sleeping. Everyone else is awake. Why they cannot stay awake? Now, Shudakirti knew that they weren't getting enough sleep, but he wasn't going to say anything to Prabhupada because he would be defeated. So, yes, Prabhupada was... And then he said, one thing is certain, I did not sleep on that flight. So, Prabhupada was way beyond time. And when he was... Yeah, I was always trying to figure him out, but no, I could not. Many devotees tried. I just heard Ravinda Sarup also talking about Prabhupada and how he looked. He was like, his colors were more focused, more sharp than other people. I also, when I would look at him, I would think, I was trying to figure out, he didn't look like he was in this dimension. He looked like he was in another dimension. And I was trying to figure out, well, is he here or is he somewhere else? Or, you know, look kind of like a movie projection. But I never could figure out again, because it's not by your intelligence, or he's way beyond the intelligence in the mind, the pure devotee. What we should learn not to waste our time. It's very valuable. It's a gift from Krishna, and you cannot buy it back. So we should try to always chant Hare Krishna and hear the scriptures, and then we can make the best use of our time. So are there any questions? Because we will not have question and answer period. Now we will have it for about 15 minutes. So if anybody has any questions, you can ask now. Just see, no question. Oh, one. Okay.
I don't have a question. I would like to really thank you. It is very nice to know that you are a disciple, or you have been a disciple, or you are still a disciple.
Yeah, I'm still trying.
And you tell us, can you tell us a few more
stories,
episodes, and anecdotes of by you and Srila Prabhupada?
Okay.
That's very nice to hear.
Okay, I will. When I first met him, it was at the airport in Atlanta Temple, and the devotees were over enthusiastic. They were carrying this huge Vyasa-san down the corridor. It was like it took 4 or 5 men to carry, and Prabhupada wouldn't even sit on it. He was just, because the devotees were so crazy, you know, why you would do this in the airport, this, you know, kind of like this. And they were carrying it down the corridor for him to sit on. That was the first time I met Prabhupada. And I started to follow behind him. And I felt that, wow, now I'm finally in my right place. I can do this the rest of my life, follow behind him. When I was a child, when I was 10 years old, I was in my classroom and I was looking at the children and I was thinking, I'm not from here. I don't know where I'm from. Maybe I'm from another country, or maybe I'm from another planet, but one thing I know, I'm not American, I'm not from here. So then when I met Prabhupada, I understood, this is where I'm from, I'm his follower, I'm meant to be with him. So that was quite my first meeting. And then we were in India, of course, many times, and I had many experiences, not many, but a few. Two experiences where Prabhupada said something to me personally that I couldn't understand at the time, but 30 years later it came true, what he said. One time, the first one was in Vrindavan in 1972, and he was giving lectures on nectar devotion, and we were going into his rooms after the lecture, and one day he said to me, one night it was, he said, "Oh, my sister tells me you speak Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely." And I was completely puzzled because I never spoke Bhagavatam and what to speak of nicely. And so then I tried to rack my brains and think, Then I remembered it was Janmashtami day, and what we had to do in Janmashtami, all the temples from morning when you get up till midnight, you had to read Krishna book. Now we only had 10 devotees in the temple and we all took turns. And when my turn came, I was reading the Rasalila, and Prabhupada's sister was sitting in front of me listening, and she is Bengali, she doesn't know a word of English. So I was reading in English, and when I got to the part where Krishna left the gopi, she just started crying and crying, and she said to Prabhupada, "She speaks Bhagavatam very nicely." So that's where I got my reputation for speaking Bhagavatam. But then 30 years later, I started to speak Bhagavatam. I started to teach Bhagavatam. So what Prabhupada said, even though it was not direct, it happened. And the second thing was in Mayapur in 1973. Because I was in Calcutta, I was the pujari, but at the same time, I was typing for Prabhupada. I used to type in America also. So one day Prabhupada came to Calcutta with his servant, and one of his servants was the Sanskrit editor. So Pradumna. So he knew me, he knew I could type. He said, "How would you like to go with Srila Prabhupada to Mayapur and type Chaitanya Charitamrita? Prabhupada wants to translate." And so then I said, "Yes." He says, "Okay, all you have to do is learn how to read Bengali. We're leaving tomorrow." I said, "No problem, I'm coming." Because Prabhupada said, "Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary." So nothing was impossible. The first day I joined, they said, "Now you have to transliterate from Sanskrit into English. Here's the Ishopanishad. You have to learn to read Sanskrit and put it into English." That was my first day in the temple. So he remembered that. So now he said, "Okay, now time for Bengali." So I learned in 1 hour, 2 hours to read Bengali. And next day I was off with Srila Prabhupada to Mayapur. And we were living in the Lotus building, which was not a lotus at all. It was under construction, and we were in the construction site living, and Prabhupada was also living in the construction site. There were bathrooms, but no pipes, so you had to go to a pump downstairs and bring up a bucket, and you couldn't use the bathroom, you just had to go on the veranda. and then out there was an outhouse far away, and then the rooms we had again had no windows. I mean, there were holes in the wall, but no windows, and there were doors but no doorknobs, and so we couldn't close the door, and then we couldn't close. There was no window, and then our room had a floor but no door, and then we had to go through the next room, which had a door but no floor. And we were up on the first floor. So we had to walk this board to get to the door in and out of our room. So this was a lot of austerities there. And so I was in a different room for typing. And Prabhupada, he was used to walk up and down and see what we were doing. And he looked in my room one day where I was typing, not in that lady's room, but a different room. And I was sitting on the floor with this manual typewriter, which probably most of you have never heard of. It was before the age of computers, and even electric typewriters didn't make it to India. We had this manual typewriter, and you have to type like this and hit it at the end of every line. You know, smack, you know, type it like that. And half the keys were broken. It was, but maybe that's why there's some mistakes there in the book. But so we were typing, and then I was sitting there. I had these earphones for the dictaphone. So, and I had a huge Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita open. So I would hear Prabhupada say the Bengali word, I would read it in Bengali, and I would type it in English letters. So that's, and Prabhupada saw me, and he said to me, oh, you know Bengali? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Just learned how to read the day before, but anyway, I wanted to make him happy. So then he says, oh, come to my room. So I went to his room, and he said, so, you know Bengali? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. So then he said, okay, so now you have to learn how to type in Bengali letters. So, okay. So one Bengali brahmachari, he was teaching me how to type in Bengali letters. And so I said to him, look, you don't have to look at the keyboard. You can just, you know, you look at the paper, and then you remember where the keys are, and you touch type. So I was teaching, he was teaching me to type. I was teaching him to touch type in Bengali. He said, oh, now I understand what Prabhupada said. I said, what did he say? He said, you teach her and you learn from her. So that time when he called me into his room, he said, you learn to type in Bengali and we will write many books together. So I thought, oh boy, I'm going to travel with Prabhupada. But it never happened, because then in Calcutta, meanwhile, they got a new temple president. And everyone was afraid of him, and all the pujaris left the temple, and so I was called back to be the head pujari in Calcutta Temple, 1973. Yeah, Garga Muni came. He had a reputation, and everyone was afraid of him, so they all left the temple. And I became the new head pujari. So, but then, 30 years later, I started writing books. And yeah, there are here actually two of them. I've written 9 books already, and here's 2 of them. So I'm writing books for Srila Prabhupada. As he said, it started 30 years ago again. So whatever, what I learned is, whatever I appear to what he says, it must come true. If some words come out from his mouth, doesn't matter. We just had a class in with the ladies, and there was a purport that Prahlad Maharaj, in saving Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord kept the words of 2 of his devotees true. He kept the words of Lord Brahma, who promised so many benedictions, and he kept the words of Narada Muni, who promised Prahlad's mother that he will be saved. So what Krishna always keeps true the words of his devotees. So if Prabhupada said something and you read it in the books, then it will come true. He said, if you chant 16 rounds and follow the 4 regulative principles, then you will go back to Godhead in this life. And he said, I guarantee it. So we have the guarantee of Srila Prabhupada. And if we follow him, we follow the 4 regulative principles and chant the holy name 16 rounds, then he will personally guarantee that we go back to Godhead in this life. So what else? I still have a few more minutes. I can tell a few more experiences. When I was the pujari in Calcutta, Prabhupada sent one artist to get a picture of the deities. And he said, you should paint Krishna like this, very young, because he was painting Krishna like, you know, in his 20s. But Krishna is 16 at the most. I used to like to see him as like 11 or 12. So he, Prabhupada said, you should paint Krishna like that, very young. My vision was more like he was 11 or 12 years old. And so he always looked very young. Another time I was doing Mangalarti, and in Calcutta, it was at the deity room and the temple were on the same level. There was only just a chain to separate. And so one time I was just doing the arti, and I turned around to offer the ghee lamp, and Prabhupada was standing right behind me. And I was really nervous, and I thought, okay, should I give it to him? Or should I do an arti first to him and then give him? What should I do? You know, thinking what to do. So then I think I did real fast, and then I gave it to him. And then, the whole arti, I was like really attentive and conscious of what I was doing, because Prabhupada was standing maybe 6 inches behind watching what I was doing. And then I thought after that, well, I should do all my service like that, that Prabhupada is watching me and right behind me and watching what I'm doing. Okay, one last story. Sometimes he would chastise us, sometimes he would praise us. So he would chastise us because if something was dirty. One time the ghee lamps, we had huge 4 feet ghee lamps, and it would get dirty. And why is it dirty? Who has done this? I thought he should have said, who has not done this? But anyway, yeah, you just want to disappear, but you have to take the chastisement. And another thing was, we had so many flowers when I was pujari. Every day I had one man donating 50 garlands. Every day, 50, 50. Plus, every day I would buy 144 lotuses, 144 roses, gardenias, everything, you know, every day. So I would change the flowers 5 times a day for the deities. And there is a back window, and some bees would come in. And there was some bumblebees. We had Radha Govinda on one side and Jagannath on the other. And on Radha Govinda's side, 2 big bumblebees would come every day. They would circumambulate, and then they would sit in the lotus flowers. And on Jagannath's side, we had small bees, and they would come and sit on the gardens. And that's it. If you read Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, you will see there are descriptions in the spiritual world how the bees are sitting on the garlands. So in Calcutta, we were experiencing how that happens. They come and they sit on the garlands. And I was reading 3rd canto. I said, wow. And then Prabhupada said, if the bees are coming, that means Krishna is pleased with the worship. So that was another thing. The bees were coming every day. Some birds were also coming and flying around. I don't know. He didn't say anything about that. And bats, and rats, and cats, cockroaches. So many things were coming every day. We had a whole zoo there. Anyway, he liked the bees. He probably favored the bees. He didn't mention the other animals. But those were some of my experiences. And thank you very much. Now it is 4:31. I think it's time for arti, yes? Is it? Okay, all glories to Shiva.